Ephesians, we're going to go there, and we're going to look at the purposes in God's Word. Now, there are many purposes in God's Word, and we're going to look at a few, but a purpose is a thing to be done, an object to be attained, an intention or an aim, and also the reason for which something is done or made, or for which it exists. So, there are many purposes spoken of in God's Word. There are purposes of God. There are purposes of His Word. There are purposes that Jesus Christ had when He came. And there are the purposes of men, which, you know, if they agree with the Word, they're great. And if they're not in agreement with God's Word, they're not so good. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And the word purpose is used in the Bible. There's a bunch of different words. Some of them actually mean purpose and some of them don't. But so you got to look them up. But there's also places where the purpose is implied. You can see by the construction of the sentence or what it's saying. So in chapter 1, verse 9, we're going to look at a purpose of God. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. So, you know, that was what God did. He purposed to make the mystery of His will known, and that was His purpose. That purpose or intention is given to us, and in the following verses it says, that in the dispensation or the administration of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in which also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or foreordained according to the purpose of Him, God, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So in other purposes, you know, He gets more and more children, and then He's going to gather them together, right? Everything gathered together in Christ. What a great thing. That's a purpose of God, and that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's also in His purpose, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. So what a great thing. That's a great purpose, isn't it? Let's go to 2 Timothy. You know, there's all kinds of purposes we have in life, and we do things with a purpose, right? You know, you get the oil changer in your car, the purpose is what? To keep the car running good. You try to eat good food, the purpose is to stay healthy. You know, there's all kinds of purposes, but one of the purposes that God revealed His will to us and His Word is because we would be to the praise of His glory. In chapter 3, verse 16, we all know this one probably, a purpose in the Word or a purpose of the Word, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed, literally is what it says in the Greek, God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's profitable for, you know, the word doctrine means instruction in how to believe rightly. Reproof lets us know when we're not believing rightly. Correction, how to get back. So it's all instruction so that we can live righteously or justly. That, and here's the, you know, that means, you know, that gives us the purpose for that, right? That word, that the man of God may be perfect, truly perfected or furnished unto all good works. And when we stand for God, we are men and women of God. And it's so that we may be perfectly furnished, that we are totally outfitted to take the task of glorifying God and carrying out His will in our lives. That's a purpose of God's Word, that we can do those things. What a great thing. let's go to 2 Peter, along the same lines. 2 Peter chapter 1. There's no great deep research in all this. It's just pretty simple and obvious, but it's kind of a cool thing to look at, you know? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You know, so here it says, according to his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You know, through his word, through a knowledge of him, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's a great purpose. And that we might partake of those great and precious promises and be partakers of the divine nature. That was God's purpose with his word. You know, that, and we get born again, we have that divine nature, don't we? We have that Holy Spirit within us. And as we learn the word, we learn of those great exceeding promises. Great, and what does it say here? Giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises. What a great thing. Giving us all things through a means of the knowledge of him, of God, and shows his purpose of his word, that, you know, he can give us all those things. What a great thing. Let's go to John chapter 3. What we used to learn, God has a purpose for everything he says, how he says it, where he says it, why he says it, how he says it, to whom he says it. You know, God is a very purposeful God. You know, he has a purpose for everything he does. You know, sometimes people get carried away with that because they think, you know, they get sick. Well, it must have been God's purpose. Well, obviously, that's not the case. We know the word. We know what it says. A war breaks out and somebody says, well, what's God's purpose? Well, that's not God's purpose either. That's the devil. We have to understand the difference between. Hello. Anyway. You understand that, right? Okay, John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know this verse. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that's what he did. That, and that shows us the purpose, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was a purpose of sending Jesus Christ, because God loved us, and he had that purpose to give us eternal life. What a great thing. And then it goes on to say, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him, that the world through him might be saved. And the world meaning what? The people. The people in the world might be saved. That was his purpose of sending Jesus Christ to sit. Now, there are other purposes, which we'll go on to see later, but that was his purpose, you know, that was God's purpose. Let's go to Jeremiah. He had purposes in the Old Testament too. And I was going to look at Ephesians chapter 3 first. Let's go to chapter 3 of Ephesians first. Then we'll go to Jeremiah. Because right along with God sending Jesus Christ in the world to save the world, it says in verse 10 of chapter 3, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold or multifarious wisdom of God. What a cool word, multifarious. I looked it up. It means diverse. God bless you. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. He purposed that to show the great wisdom and all that he had to do through Jesus Christ. And part of that, of course, was to save us, give us eternal life. Okay, let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 36. In the Old Testament, God also had, of course, his overall purpose was way back to send that Messiah to save mankind. But he had to go through all kinds of things to get there, to do it perfectly and legally according to his word. And in chapter 36 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a prophet sent to save Israel, to save Judah, actually, the northern kingdom of Judah. And they had turned away from God. And so God sent Jeremiah to warn them and to try to get them to turn back to him. And it says in verse 1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, so this is the word of God, right? And it came to Jeremiah. Take thee a roll of a book. And, you know, this is a great instruction. We've looked at this many times before. This is how the Bible got written, right? God said to a man, okay, take some paper, get a pen, and write this down. So that's what he's saying here. Take thee a roll of a book, a scroll, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day that I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So Josiah was a king that preceded Jehoiakim, and it says that no king turned back to God with all his heart like Josiah. And Josiah, he read the word, he saw the law, and he cleansed Israel of the idols and the devil worship and had them celebrate the Passover and did all this great stuff. But then after he died, what did they do? They turned back to false gods and all the crazy stuff they were doing. So here's the purpose of why God had Jeremiah write this scroll. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, which means simply they're going to get the consequences of their actions, because I've warned them many times, and if they don't turn back to me, bad things are going to happen. That they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. His purpose here was that he could forgive them of their sin and iniquity, and that they would prosper again and be made whole. You know, and throughout the Bible, that's part of the things or the reasons that God sent his word, so that people could turn back to him to get healed, to be made whole, to be forgiven. And you know, be in alignment and harmony with him. What a great thing. What a loving God. Let's go to Isaiah. So Isaiah 14. So God did this throughout his Bible. He always has a purpose for everything he says. And you know, just have to understand the specifics of the time and the administration, who he's talking to, who it's addressed to, and what's going on, right? So obviously we've been forgiven because we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and believed in our heart God raised him from the dead. So we have been forgiven from all sin and iniquity. So let's see, chapter 14, verse 26. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. Wow, that's pretty all-encompassing. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations, referring to God's hand. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? You know, who's going to make it void? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? In the year that the king Ahaz died was this burden. Okay, what's this saying? It says, whatever God purposes, that's what's going to happen, and there's nobody that can stop it. You know, so the return of Christ, nobody can stop it. You know, the great persecution that's going to happen after the gathering, nobody can stop it. The world, you know, everybody talks about global warming and the end of the world and all this crap. The world was condemned the moment that Adam sinned, and nobody can stop it. Nobody can stop the destruction of the world. Because God has ordained it. It's in his purposes. But we will be gathered together. So what a great thing. Let's go back to, let's see, where are we going? Ephesians again. We're going to go back and read chapter 3, 10, and 11 again. Just cause. What a great thing. What? God's purposes, you know, God lays out all his purposes, and you can read them, and you know, what do we know? God's word is God's will. Well, God's will reveals all his purposes, what he does. And he has a purpose for everything that he's done, everything he says, and it's going to come to pass, and man can't do anything about it. The only thing we can do is believe and be in alignment and harmony with him. There used to be, when I was in the Army, there was a great saying, you know, I don't know how to say this without saying a bad word. Crap goes downhill, right. You know, and if you're in the way, it's going to roll you over and squish you, you know. Well, it's kind of true with God. You know, if you get in alignment and harmony with God, he's going to take care of you and bless your life. But if you're not in alignment and harmony with God, you're going to get squished by the world. You know, it's just the way it is. So chapter 3, verse 10 again, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. What a great thing. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That eternal purpose was shown first in Genesis 3:15, right? The Working Translation translates this, so that through the church, the multifarious wisdom of God could now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm, in accordance with the purpose of the ages, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You know, he accomplished his purpose when he sent Jesus Christ. He defeated the devil. He defeated death for mankind. What a great thing. Let's go to 2 Timothy again, chapter 1. You know, it's kind of funny because when you talk to some religious people, they'll say, well, you got to just take it by faith, or it's a mystery. And yet God is very specific. God is very specific in his purposes, in his word, in his desire, in his will for us, for his people. And he's very specific about what's going to happen to people that don't believe. You know, it's very specific, and there's no mystery in it at all. And we don't just have to have faith. We believe in his word. We believe in the truth that he's revealed to us. And as we walk according to the Spirit, he'll reveal whatever we need to know. What a great thing. Let's go. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. This is Paul speaking. He wrote it to Timothy while he was in jail. That's why he says this. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, or, you know, what he had to endure, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, or before the ages of time. You know, that was his purpose. He purposed it before the ages of time. You know, when Adam fell, God purposed that he would save us in Christ Jesus. What a great thing. And it would be by grace. That was his purpose, that it would be by grace. What a wonderful thing. The purpose of Jesus Christ was in accordance with God's purpose, the purposes of Jesus Christ that he came. Let's go to John chapter 1. Look at some of the purposes of Jesus Christ. So we saw some purposes of God. We saw some purposes of God's word, which, you know, God's word and God have to line up, right? And chapter 1 of John, verse 18. Well, let's start in verse 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. So one of the purposes of Jesus Christ was to declare God, to make him known like no one had ever made him known before. Previous in the Bible, he's never referred to as a father. It was Jesus Christ that revealed that really and let people know. And his relationship with God was as a father, and he encouraged his disciples and his apostles that they should go to God as their father. What a great thing. What revolutionary, really, considering what their relationship was before. Let's go to chapter 4 of Luke. In verse 16 of Luke, we're going to begin. And it says, "And he came to Nazareth," Jesus Christ came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. "And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord.'" Now, this is a prophecy in Isaiah concerning Jesus Christ, right? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me." And the word anointed means, you know, you could say ordained me or appointed me. It was his purpose for coming to preach the gospel to the poor. "He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Because the rest of that verse and the rest of that context does not pertain to what he was talking about. It's pertaining to something in the future still. So that was a purposes of Jesus Christ, as well as declaring the truth of God. And let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Another purpose of Jesus Christ. And if you remember back when we spent those two family camps, if you still have your syllabus in the back, we had an appendix, and part of the appendix was about 5 or 6 pages of the purposes of Jesus Christ, which is pretty cool. So anyway, chapter 5, verse 18, or 17 rather. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till it all be fulfilled." Now, he fulfilled a great part of it, didn't he? He fulfilled the part that was enough to bring us our redemption and our salvation. But it's still not all fulfilled, is it? Because there's still stuff in the future that has to be fulfilled according to the prophecies of God's word, which, you know, we're going to enjoy. We're going to have a ball when that happens. but again, this was one of his great purposes, to fulfill all the law and the prophets, all that was spoken of him that he had to fulfill, that he had to do. He had to fulfill all that law so that we could be deemed righteous before God, that we could be cleansed and made whole. What a great thing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. It's kind of interesting. This is in Hebrews. Chapter 2, verse 9, we're going to start. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." You know, this is written to the Jews, right? It was written to Jews who were born again. It was written to Jews who were having a tough time because of the pressure of the religious leaders of Israel at the time. And it's written to Jews hoping that they would turn to Jesus Christ and believe. So it's talking about Jesus here. "By the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him," Jesus Christ, "for whom are all things by..." "For it became him," God, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." God did that. That was his purpose, right? That was God's purpose. He called Jesus Christ. He set before Jesus Christ what he had to do. And the purpose was that he would be the captain of salvation and he would be perfect. For both he that sanctifieth, God, and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, Jesus Christ. He is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the devil, death, the power of death, that is the devil. So that was another purpose of God and of Jesus Christ, to destroy the devil who had the power of death, right? And to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetimes. Okay, there it goes. I'm back. He's back. We're almost done, so let's go back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. How long were we dead?
About 3 minutes.
Okay, well, we didn't miss too much. If you missed it on the tape, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Matthew 22:36 through 40, 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33, and now we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1:30. And it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, it's another purpose. We're to glory in the Lord, in Jesus Christ, in all that he did. Not in what we do, but what in he did, what he did. And we're to glorify God in all we do. That's purposes. That's good purpose for living. So, Father God, we just thank you for your love and your grace and for the greatness of your word and how you make so clear and concise and perfect the purposes of your word, your purpose and your purpose of your Son, Jesus Christ, and what the purposes of our lives are supposed to be. To respect you, keep your word, to love you with all our hearts, and to glorify you in all we do, and all the other things too. That we just put those things in our heart and just do our best to do your will every day and glorify you in all we do. And we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.